This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
The appraisals have come through. You now have a better role, a better salary, and a lot more responsibility. So what does it mean to embrace a leadership position? How do CXOs handle and manage conflicts? How can younger leaders deal with more experienced team members while keeping that respect intact? Hello, my name is Yashika. You've heard us speak to Advait Kurlikar in the previous episode about setting organizational goals and KPIs. And if you haven't, well, you surely must check it out. Advait is the CEO at Apohan Management Consultants, specializing in business strategy, HR consulting, CXO coaching, and process improvement. Having been in leadership positions in organizations like PwC and IBM in the past, Advait comes with a rich and diverse experience, especially within the organizational development realm. So, in this next part of the conversation with Advait, we are reading between the lines and observing nuances, behavioral and attitude changes within leaders, managers and CXOs as designations change and their roles and responsibilities evolve a notch higher.
You've been coaching multiple leaders at the CXO level as well. What are the two or the three most important factors for you or according to you in order to step up from a mid-level role to actually a CXO role, or rather prepare yourself for a CXO role?
Okay, so we need to understand that when we are moving up the ladder, is just the designation changing or my role is changing? I was a manager in finance. Now I spent 3 years. I've done an above average job. So I've got a senior manager finance role.
Right.
That role is still a manager role. My designation has become senior manager. I've got some increment. I might, instead of a small car, I might get a bigger car. With no driver, I might get a driver. I might get some other benefits. But that is a designation and salary change.
Right.
That is not a role change. So what we have to look out for is my role changing? Role can change in terms of scope. Role can change in terms of responsibility. Role can change in terms of decision-making authority that the new role can have. And role change can mean that I might need some additional skill sets to deliver that kind of role. Or for the same skill set, I need to show some additional or higher level of maturity.
Right.
If you go back by a competency modeling or a competency framework, I need to move up the maturity curve on the same competency.
Right.
Which means I need to think, I need to behave, I need to operate at a larger level than just a designation change or a salary change or an increment kind of thing. Yeah. That is what is important. People often confuse between designation change as role change.
Yes.
No.
Talk to us about one aspect or that one striking quality according to you where you say, there, I spot a leader, I spot a CXO there.
Okay, one is difficult, but a couple of things that come in my mind is, am I very clear that the buck stops at my level? Yeah, and when I say the buck stops at my level, it is on the negative side rather than on the positive side, which means if things go right, I should not be clamoring for credit. Yeah, I should involve. And again, I'm not saying, what I colloquially call be a Tyagmurti. Okay, no, it's just my team, nothing to do with me. No, of course, it's you also.
Right.
But it's not just me. It is me and my team or my team and me.
Right.
So I would, again, it's like maybe again a contrarian view. I'm not saying exclude yourself from the credit. But you are not the only one to take credit. Having said that, on the negative side, I would say exclude your team members from the blame.
Hmm.
because you are their leader, you are their manager. Yeah, you are taking decisions on behalf of the organization that have a large order impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are at the point where the fulcrum, you know, that fulcrum point is closer to you. So a small kind of thing that you do affects a large part of the organization.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Your team is on the other side of that lever. Where, you know, for them to do really change, they need really to take kind of thing. And they don't have that authority, they don't have that role.
Right.
So that organizational lever that is in your hand, the fulcrum is very close to you.
Sure.
You have to understand that. And therefore, that things that go wrong are primarily because of you.
Hmm.
Because you have taken these decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might have delegated those decisions to you, but that is, again, it's because of you that you have delegated.
Also, I'm taking responsibility and accountability.
Yes, yes. Especially for the negative thing. Taking full responsibility and accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Internally, I can say, ki, tumne galat kaam kiya, that kind of thing. But from a public perspective, from my own superior perspective, I have to, my neck is out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't, when I'm talking to my superior, I can't say, usne achha nahi kaam kiya.
Mm.
He erred. Kind of thing. You know, he did the wrong thing. He took a wrong decision.
Yeah.
No, no, no. My team, so me. The second thing is, you know, the while work is important, and if you take your team with you, you can't be only, you know, what should I say, that X and Y part of it. You need to have that mix of yin and yang, X and Y kind of personalities.
Yeah.
So the softer sides of business are also and perhaps increasingly becoming more and more important. So do you know your people well? Are you assigning them responsibilities based on your own assessment of their skills?
Yeah.
Your own assessment of their strengths? Do you know what's happening with your team members?
Yeah.
What we normally see is the people manager part of it.
Yeah.
That is again very, very important from a leadership perspective. Again, I'll give an example. That we have a client where there was one senior person who just about knows everything happening in the organization in terms of people. So if somebody is going through a rough patch in her or his personal life, this person will know, irrespective of whether this person is directly reporting to him or not.
Right.
And then it becomes a very funny conversation when this person who's at a CXO level is talking to a manager level and saying that how come you don't know that your team member is going through a divorce, as an example.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, but nobody told me. I said, these things are not to be told. You should know your team members. That's again a great sign, because again, this is just in terms of life cycle. But to understand everybody's core strengths, appreciate those strengths and assign responsibilities accordingly, or especially if there is a special task accordingly, that again is a great sign of leadership.
You know, talking about leaders, we are living in a day and an age, Advait, where we have leaders, we have young leaders, globally for that matter, we have global teams, especially when these young leaders are working with more experienced team members, older team members, so to say, or more seasoned, if I may call them. How do you set boundaries and actually get work done without sounding disrespectful, if I must?
See, I'll remind you of a dialogue from the movie Guru. You know, sub business. So you have to be very, very professional about it. It's nothing personal. It's right. Business.
Yeah.
So even if I am a manager and I have people reporting to me who are maybe more experienced than me or elder to me, etc., etc., whether they like it or not, whether I like it or not, it so happens that they report to me on a professional basis.
Right.
And therefore, when I'm talking to them, it can't be personal from their side, it can't be personal from my side. I'm not saying be cold and be, you know, cut and loose kind of thing. I mean, the warmth has to be there in your interactions with them.
Right.
But when you're setting goals, you are just translating organizational goals, you are cascading them, organizational priorities, which come from your boss to you and from you to your team members. And therefore, it can't be personal. The same thing also happens even if my team member is younger and I have a great rapport with these people because I'm a people manager, as they say. And then the problem that happens is that how do I have uncomfortable conversations with
my people. I was going to come there, you know, because what happens particularly in scenarios like this is that the conflict comes in when you're talking about getting things done within a certain frame and there is a certain disagreement maybe of sorts, or there may be a discussion of sorts. However, when this conversation or this crucial conversation takes place, how does one tackle the age gap or the age barometer, if one must?
Yeah. So I think as Indians, it is very difficult for us culturally to separate out personal and professional.
Yeah.
And that's where the challenge is.
Yeah.
Just because I have a great rapport with you personally, why can't I also have a great rapport with you professionally? And if I have to have that great rapport with you personally, then I need to also be comfortable doing these uncomfortable conversations with you. If it means that I'm not happy with something that you have done, without having to fear, you know, it's today afternoon and we're having this uncomfortable conversation. And before this happened, anyway, we were supposed to go out for a drink in the evening. So now what about that?
Yes.
I have to separate that out. And the onus lies with both sides. And again, the age, experience, etc. should not come. It's a professional relationship between it's like a mentor, mentee or a person reporting to his or her line manager. And it is great to have personal rapport.
Yeah.
But it is also important to be very, very clear in terms of professional. My personal thing will not affect, because tomorrow, let's look at the other side. Because I have a great rapport with my team, a particular team member, for example, will I be biased in the appraisal on the positive side?
Yeah.
That should not also happen. And I should not negatively also. That I don't have a great personal rapport, but professionally that person is doing great. Should I have a negative bias just because I don't gel well with you?
Yeah.
So we are very, very uncomfortable as Indians. You know, if professionally we are good, then personally also we need to be good.
Yeah.
That's a wrong assumption.
Hmm.
I can be great with you personally, but I may not want to socialize with you.
Hmm.
And the other way around, that I can have a great personal relationship with you, but professionally, we don't gel well.
In the event that there is a conflict, Advait, in such a scenario, how does one work around it?
Best way is be forthright, be communicative. Don't hide me. Don't beat around the bush. Don't hide behind any kind of semantics or kind of thing. Best is to have a dialogue.
Wonderful.
And be very clear that this is strictly on a professional basis. And if you're having this uncomfortable conversation, then it is your responsibility that you sort of patch it up with a great personal kind of thing. So that person is also comfortable saying that, oh, that was different, this was different.
Wonderful. What does achievement mean to you, Advait?
Achievement means, at the end of the day, being satisfied with what you are or what you have. For me, that is an achievement. You have to be realistic in terms of what you do. Before you start, what I always tell my clients, that before you start what I call crystal gazing, you need to be navel gazing first.
Okay.
Which means you need to be very, very, have a realistic assessment of who you are, where you are, why you are here, why you are here. And there are two connotations to that. Why you are here means why you are here. That means, you know, you already achieved something. And next 5 years, while we are here and not here.
Yeah.
That is the realistic assessment. Without this navel gazing, that crystal gazing has no meaning. That sense of achievement, that my target, my dream, my vision has no meaning. Yeah. Everybody's target is that, okay, I want to reach on the top of the mountain. I want to summit that peak. But for that, I need to be very clear that, okay, if I have to climb Everest, okay, can I do Parvatim to start with?
Yeah.
And am I at Everest base camp already? Am I at the first camp, second camp, or I'm still far away? I'm at sea level. Then you will not get that sense of disachievement or misachievement or lack of achievement, because you are realistic in terms of what you want. I'm not saying don't dream big. But dream big in the context of where you are.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just disappointment for you because, you know, you are at sea level and you think that you want to climb Mount Everest in the next 1 month. That is not going to be possible. So, the giving yourself a reality check and therefore being satisfied with every small thing that you do is achievement for me.
Lovely. Lovely having you. Thanks so much for your time and this conversation, Advait. Lovely having you.
Thank you so much, Yashika. Thank you.
If you've been a leader, a manager, or a CXO who's recently experienced an evolution in roles, responsibilities, and have discovered novel and successful ways of navigating people challenges or business challenges, tell us on editor@voiceofachievers.com. We'll feature some of the best stories on our show. Until then, keep learning and keep listening to Voice of Achievers via EPlog Media and available across all your favorite podcast streaming platforms.